Pena.
Warning. The following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
That is right, Duke. But the thing is, are we any good at podcasting? That's more to the point.
Well, after episode 10, I'm not sure.
it got away on us.
Let's straighten up just a fraction.
Yeah, we got a little loose. Got a little bit long and loose, which we said we weren't going to do. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we're back in the Chili Dippers studio again. We're recording a new pod, episode 11.
On that, now as you're introducing us, as now that we're major podcast celebrities, I've been listening to a few more podcasts to see how they're done. Most hosts, like yourself, have a bit of a calling card when they introduce themselves. Like, you listen to the starters a bit and they're going, what's he say? Good morning, sweet world.
Yeah.
All that. I think you're nearly in the need in a calling
you
card.
You know, it's actually funny you say that because I've actually been thinking about this. Like, I've been like driving to work, listen to other pods, thinking I need to come up with some little calling, like some little opener that I use. Yeah. But I just can't think of one. Sorry, I do need to do one or two things. Try one each week from now on out, or get some people
to send a few in.
Yeah, send some in. Text me, email me at thechilidippers@gmail.com. Some sort of thing that you want me to try, and I'm happy to give it a try.
Some sort of opening calling card. Yeah, I think you need it.
Right. Okay. Righto.
And with that, you need to turn down the air conditioner. How come your studio's always freezing?
You're so windy. You're like old man Abraham Simpson. You are it's too cold. Then I get to
really?
We turned it off 10 minutes ago. It was too hot.
Now you know if I'm Abraham Simpson, what's that make you, Mr. Burns, the grumpy old millionaire up in his studio,
ordering
his little minions around, not whinging, just running the world,
whinging about you,
counting his money. Just running the show up there by himself.
Turn it up. Turn it up.
Right. Now, what are we doing today?
We're going another flashback episode. Of course, we played a while ago, which is good. It's not actually in the top 100. It's not
the Golf Australia magazine's top 100, is it?
No, it's not. No,
that's
it's not.
All right.
But it was more of a fun course. We went to Queensland to play a few courses, and I seen this advertised online. They actually have night golf.
No.
The golf course is called Emerald Lakes.
Thought we were never going to talk about this again.
This needs to be discussed. Needs to be put on wax.
Right.
Now, when I say night golf, just so everyone knows, it's not your typical night golf, which a lot of people played, where it's glow-in-the-dark golf balls.
Those balls with the hole in them where you put the little glow in the tube hit them 150 metres.
Yep,
sort of
yep. And then they put glow sticks
that's
on.
That's not
feeding them. Yeah, it's still good fun. I still enjoy that. Yeah, but yeah, this is different. This actually, put floodlights all the way down the fence.
Floodlight.
Yep, use your own golf ball. Everything's regular.
Oh, really good headlights on the golf cart.
Yeah, so the golf cart's got headlights and there's floodlights down the fairway. So
yep,
you're playing the golf
proper
at
golf
night time.
At night.
Yeah, so it was real good fun. So we thought we'd give this a try, but only 9 holes of Emerald Lakes is under lights.
You play the first 9 in daylight. You turn up about 3 o'clock.
Yep.
Get rid of your first 9. Then we had a break, had some to eat and all that, waited for twilight. And Queensland's a perfect place for it because there's no twilight. It just goes from light to dark straight away.
Yeah. So we done that. So we thought we'd give this a try. And it was actually really, there was things we could nitpick, but overall it was actually really good fun.
It was great. Yeah, well, just briefly, the front 9, the course was fine.
Yeah,
normal
course
daylight
actually really
course.
Nice.
It was only $42 around, and that included the car.
Included the car,
it?
Absolutely did.
$42 including the car, that's fine. And said the front 9 was just a nice, good, normal course.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then the, I don't know what the right word is, the mystery, the craziness.
Before we talk about the course, let's get to the end of how the round finished.
Well, I think it needs to explain that at night, things are different. Things are different at night. Like if you go to the pub during the day, things stay normal. You go to the pub at night, things get loose and crazy. Like all the craziness happens at night, and this was it. Like horror movies aren't set during the day; they're set during the night because that's when the mystery happens.
I actually wish we were recording this as we stepped off. Look, we'd been. This is probably the third course we'd played when we were in Queensland. I hadn't won a single round yet. No. We get to the 18th. We're on the green. I've putted out.
Well, yeah. Well, even before the 18th, I've got a. I hit to the behind the bushes on the next hole sort of thing. So I was behind the bushes to get. It had got tight. The scores had really tightened up. The excuse I was when weird things happen, plenty of weird things happened on the back nine, and I would just say night golf, and that sort of cleared up any weirdness. That was just the excuse for anything.
Yeah.
Now, I had a really tough shot to get onto that green. I had to use the 64 degree. Yep. Now, I may have placed that ball from the dirt onto a little bushel of grass, so it had a really nice lie, and I could get it up straight and quick. Now, that may have happened while I was identifying the ball, and
making sure it was yours.
It was night golf.
Yep.
Right. So, and I played a beautiful wedge.
That you did. Yes. To the green. That was a very beautiful shot. You're right.
Good. All right. Good.
Right. Good. So now I'm telling this part.
All right.
So I've putted out. Rolls has got a putt. It's probably about a 4.5 foot. Just trust me. It was 4.5 foot. 4.5. Look.
Meters, 4.5 meters.
It was a fairly short putt. Oh. He had a 4.5 foot putt to tie, right? So I couldn't actually lose. So anyway, Rolls has putted. He's hit his ball, and then you know when you're playing golf and you hit it and you walk up and you grab it out of the hole like in one motion sort of thing. Dave's hit the ball. The ball's going to go past the hole, but it's going to miss. He walks past with his putter in one motion and just taps it in the hole and goes, tied.
Well
night golf.
My version's a little different. So I had a 6-foot putt, and I've putted it towards the hole, and it was wobbly. It went two or three directions and was moving around, and it was an uphiller, and I went to sort of put me putter head near it, and as I put the putter head to the back of the hole, the ball sort of did a loop around, just probably missing me putter head, and fell in. Because it was night and so dark, you couldn't really see if the ball hit the putter head. And look, I had the best argument in the world, night golf.
The thing was, it was blatantly hit his putter head. There was no question about that. Hit the putter head, cheated, put it in the hole, and not when I pulled him up on it, just picked his ball and strolled straight past me back to the bloody buggy.
Well, I figured once I'm off the course, you can't argue and about the score.
He literally just got like it was like he'd made the putt. Like it was one motion, double tapped it, died.
Well, anyone who knows me knows I'm a daytime operator. I'm not very good after dark. And it was after dark. And it was, it was a tough round, and I needed to, I didn't want any questions. I needed to get off the course. As I said, it's night golf, and we'll never know.
I think I laughed about it from Emerald Lakes all the way back to Brunswick Heads. Yeah. I chuckled the whole way back.
I tell you what I laughed about. Remember, we went back into the clubhouse, and the guy said, oh, how was your night golf? So I politely complained that a few of the floodlights were out, because normally, like obviously there was, what, say, 4 or 5 lots of floodlights on each hole.
Yep.
One or two were out on each hole and on some of the holes, and one was out near a putting green or whatever. And so while it was still good, it could have been better. And he said, oh, yeah, we're at the end of a service round. We normally wait for X amount to be out sort of thing. And he goes, oh, look, I'll give you a free round again. I said, mate, I live in New Zealand. That's no good to me. He said, oh, what can I do? And I said, oh, look, a box of golf balls would be nice. He goes, yeah, no worries.
Grab one.
Yeah, so I ended up grabbing that big bag of golf. So just because a few of the lights out, he was kind enough to give us a free bag of golf balls, which I always enjoy.
Yeah. But look, for the novelty, it was actually really good. Like Ralph said, some of the lights were out, which did make it tough. A lot of times you're just doing circles in your cart trying to find your actual golf
ball. But if it was at the start of the round when all the lights were on,
get down and do it. It was really good fun for something different.
I highly recommend night golf, but just be careful because anything can happen. So Emerald Lakes, not ranked by Golf Australia magazine, but still good.
Yeah, still good.
You can play it during the day, no worries. Like, it's a good course, but then the night golf's what it's about.
Yeah, look, there was plenty of water, which not good at night time, but you do have to hit over a lot of water. It was...
The clubhouse was good and the food was good. They had the outdoor eating area at the clubhouse there and all that sort of stuff. And that's the great idea, is getting that meal in while the twilight's happening was really cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, so the course was redesigned by Graham Marsh back in 2005.
Graham, that is Rod's brother, isn't it? yes, it is, David. Thank you.
Yep.
He was the left-hander. The left-hander, highly ranked Australian golfer, who was the brother of the Australian Test wicket keeper of the 70s.
Yes, David. All right. Look, we're not gonna wrap on about Emerald Lake. We just wanted to get in the novelty of the whole night golf thing, and how the round ended needed to be put on wax, because I need people to know about that.
Yeah, well. I'm not sure we cleared anything up, but night golf, big tick for me.
Yep, me too. All right, so moving on from the golf course review, we're going to go to one of our later segments, which is called Top Four.
Top
Four. Oh, come on
now. Good intro.
Yeah, we might have slapped that together just to...
Don't give me any credit. You're in there. You did that. That's magnificent.
So we'll start to do a bit more of that. We'll get a bit more animated with our intros and that sort of stuff.
All right. No. So top four, we've been given clearance from the lawyers. We don't have to worry about anymore. The cut of your jib boys are happy. So I've got a top four, and with that, now that we've been given clearance from the lawyers, I've got a sponsor.
A sponsor.
I have.
How big is a sponsor?
Well, Johnny Waller's Jewelry. Yeah, Johnny and Jody down there at the jewelry store are happy to sponsor this segment.
Really?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
But I need a new watch.
Right.
So I reckon if I mention Johnny enough, I reckon Johnny's a big golfer.
Yeah.
And also, too, why I want him sponsoring the top four, as in four, there's a very famous story about Johnny.
Oh, yes.
Not yelling four and nearly killing someone on the green, which we won't tell now. We might get Johnny on one day and he might even...
Yeah.
But that's why Johnny's sponsoring the top four in my book. And as I said, I need a new watch and actually, I reckon...
Sorry, keep going.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I reckon if I mentioned Johnny enough, he might feel the pressure to give me one.
be a cheap one. But speaking of that, you know what we should do? We should put anyone out there who has witnessed firsthand or hitting someone with a golf ball, let us know, because we might do a little bit of something where we get four or five interviews and we have multiple people tell that story.
Oh, yeah, very good. I've got some... a moral question about that coming up too in a few shows' time that I want to run by you, but that's okay. But back to today's top four. We've just got a quick one. I've got the top four names that are only one name. Only that person is ever named that. Like, I'm named David, there's 1,000 Davids.
Right.
Luke, there's 1,000,000 Lukes. These names I've heard and known people, but no one else has ever been named these names. Well, I hope so. Let me know if you're wrong.
So they're real names.
They're real names. Real names of real people, you know. But amazingly, no one else has ever been known these names, all right? The first one I've got is a rugby player from Australia, Stirling Mortlock.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know any other Stirlings? It's a magnificent name, Stirling Mortlock.
Stirling Silver?
No, but it's no one's name, is it? Mm-hmm. So, all right, so that was four. Next, Rudyard Kipling. Do you know Rudyard Kipling? He's an author from...
Exactly.
Know any other Rudyards?
No.
Next, your favourite singer, Fergal Sharkey.
Fergal, that's one of the greatest names.
That's
of all
a great
time,
name, isn't it? Well, he's number two on the
list. That's number two.
Fergal Sharkey. Has anyone else been called Fergal?
Oh, I don't know.
You couldn't. Fergal, it's... I wonder if that's his real name or his... surely you wouldn't make up Fergal Sharkey at this stage. Sharkey you might make up, but not Fergal.
I don't know. I'm tipping it's not. Anyway, right. I'm hoping it's real.
And the number one name on the list, Sir Ninian Stevens. Who's called...
Ninian. How do you're in the hospital? What do you want to call this thing?
No, don't get me wrong. All due respect, he was a great either. I think he was either the governor of Australia or the premier of New South Wales, and he passed recently. And he was a great man, But yeah, so
how does that discussion go with your partner? Like earlier on when you're going through all your names.
Gee, he looks like a Ninian.
You're doing what the old. You write down your top 10. I'll write down mine. Ninian. I got Ninian as well.
Exactly. I've got Ninian. So he said that was just a quick sharp. So yep. You agree? No one else has named them.
Yep. All right. As far as I know. Yeah.
All right. That's the top four for today.
Very good. Well, I'm not going to try to follow that up. I'm just going to leave that there. That can be your list. That's good. That's great.
So I'd like to thank Johnny Wallers down there at Johnny Wallers Jewelry. And for all your jewelry needs, head down to Johnny and Jody and they'll look after you.
Very good. Well, all right, speaking of that, I reckon we should, anyone that wants to be a sponsor, just so we can get some free shit.
Including you, Johnny, if you actually do want to be a sponsor.
Just if you see me in Rolls out anywhere, buy us a beer, Rolls a can of Coke or a milkshake. Or something and say that's for the sponsorship and you'll get a mention. Send us something, post us something, do it. Give us some free stuff and you'll get on.
Oh, and don't just leave it at the level. Again, I think we mentioned, if it's Oakley or Callaway and they want to send us something, we'll look after you. We'll mention you all we can. But as I said, thanks to Johnny Wallace for getting on board early.
Very good, very good. All right, before we get to your favourite segment, Rolls, I'm just going to lead us in with a little sum. You don't know I'm doing this. I got an email from one of our friends called Ian Haywood.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, I haven't seen Ian for years. He's a little fella.
Shout out to Ian. He sent an email in saying he loves the podcast, keep up the great work, et cetera, et cetera. And then he said down the bottom, I'm going to read this out. It says, also, did you guys ever hear about or remember this article from the Wayne Chronicle? Ooh. It would have been from around 1998 to 99. If it's something that may suit being talked about on your show, myself and some others may know a little something about it. Thanks, guys. Ian Haywood.
All right, you've got me interested. You've got me interested.
That's
what's going on?
There. Yeah,
what was the headline there? Strange happenings on the golf course or something.
So this is from, we're thinking, around 98, 99, Wayne Grattan Chronicle. The headline is Strange Happening Surprises Golfers.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to read the article out because this is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. There were some strange happenings at the two local golf courses on Saturday night which had golfers take a second look the next day when competing. Wangaratta Golf Club member Des Stone noticed something amiss when he saw the distinctive white flag with red markings of the Jubilee Golf Course on his first hole. Further inspection revealed all 18 flags at Waldara had been replaced by Jubilee flags during the night. A call to Jubilee uncovered the whereabouts of the Wangaratta Golf Club flags. They were now on each of the 18 holes at Jubilee.
Wow. All right.
Thankfully, no damage was done, Des said. But just imagine how long it would have taken to make the switch, walking around 36 holes, removing the flags and then replacing them. The flags were returned this morning to their rightful place.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I actually remember this happening. I actually do remember that happening.
Look, it's not sounding completely unfamiliar to me either.
But I'd actually forgotten all about it.
Oh, absolutely.
And Beavis has gone to the trouble of actually finding that article somehow, somewhere, and actually sending it in, which I reckon's fantastic. Share that to you, Beavis, for doing that. I reckon
Beavis,
that's great.
That's a ripper. Now, when you said take too much time, I hope they didn't do it one at a time. I hope they didn't, we'll take one over. Oh, no, let's do two. Because it would have taken a long time.
Do the first, run back
to
the second.
That's a ripping little practical joke. No one got hurt, no damage. That's funny. Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's.
And look, the reason I bring that up is because we're about to go into question time and it may have, I don't know how much trouble I'm going to get anyone in here, but it may have a little bit of something to do with the person who actually sent these questions in. For your favourite segment, Rolls?
Welcome to question time.
Now, hang on a second here.
Mm-hmm.
So are you suggesting the person 20 years ago who played that joke on both golf courses, which we both said was all good and harmless fun, is the actual person that has sent these questions in?
I didn't say that. I never alluded to that.
You know our mates over at I Like the Cut of Your Jib?
Mm.
They hide behind names and initials. And I've had a go at them. I said, this David D and Mark G and all that sort of stuff hiding behind it. Over here, we name names.
Righto.
We name names.
The questions are sent in by Sean Ivanax?
Axe,
we call him.
Sean Ivanax sent these questions in. And so were you suggesting he may have had...
Everything to do with
everything.
Yeah, absolutely everything.
Magnificent. I've always thought I'm a big fan of Axe's. You know, he's a ripper.
Yep.
That he's just gone up another notch in my book. That is one of the great pranks of all time. Yep. Good on him. Well, let's see. Has he held up his end with questions? Has he got anything good for us?
Yeah, he has. He's actually sent in a heap of questions. We're going to choose... we might do three today because he sent in some really good ones. So Sean's first question is, which position would you rather find yourself in? A, 2-1 chip leader, heads up in the World Series of Poker main event final table.
Well, yeah, good.
B, a one-shot lead heading into the 72nd hole of the US Masters.
That's a great question. Do you reckon we could make it? I reckon to make it square a 2-shot lead, because I reckon that makes it a better. I reckon it, because 1-shot lead, even if we're playing well, we're going to bogey it, and they're gonna par it or birdie it, and win.
Yeah,
yep, want to make it 2-shot lead?
Two shot lead.
The thing is now, if it comes down, I'd prefer to win the Masters than that. Poker tournament,
right?
But I reckon I'd be a better chance to win the poker tournament, because why? I know poker isn't luck. There is some luck involved, and if I get dealt pocket aces or whatever, I might just get the hand to beat the other guy and win that. And what's the total prize money there? 7 or 8 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the prize money for the golf, the prize money for the golf might be 1 or 2 million. Geez, if I'm playing well and I've got a 2-shot lead, I could par it. And win, then they could still have birdie and I could win.
Yep, so what are you choosing?
So do I have to choose? I'm choosing the golf, and I'll tell you why. I'll choose the golf because I've obviously played very well the 3 days previous.
Yep.
So I'm news, everything's cool.
Or are you just getting dropped in there
now? No.
So I think that's how... Anyway, go.
Well, all right. Well, even if I'm getting dropped in, I'm going to finish top five, aren't I?
Yeah.
Top five, get you an invite back next year, get you exempt for the US tour for the next 12 months or 18 months, get you invite to all the other majors and all that for a long, long time. And if you happen to win it, you get invited back to the Masters for life. So I'm going to take a 2-shot lead into the Masters, hope I can par or even bogey it. And if I bogey it and he pars it, I win. Mm-hmm. So yep, I'm taking the 2-shot lead.
Well, I am going the absolute opposite. I'm taking the 2-1 chip lead because... Because I think I'm actually good enough to win that.
You are a very good
2-1 underdog and still back myself.
For people who don't know, Luke is a very avid poker player and a very good poker player. Even though when we played the tournament in Vegas, I won. And even when we had the major championships in Wangaratta, I won. And he
When he was discussing luck a minute ago?
But that said, that was a dig at Luke. But Luke's a very good poker player. So that makes sense for you. I'm probably, it's relative to my golf to your poker.
Yeah. So, but it's not just that. I more so don't want a 2-shot lead on a nationally televised golfing event. And I don't want to win it. And I don't want to come back next month and be exempt for the next...
Because
I'm talking more dropped in. If I get dropped in now, I can have a 9 on that hole and look like an absolute dickhead. Yeah. And then have to, and then even if I did play well enough to win it, I don't want to be on. I don't want to play another actual 4-day.
That's the thing. I know I'd be playing a lot of Thursday, Fridays, and not many Sundays. But no, I'm happy to get free entry into all the tournaments and not make the cuts and all that. But it's it. You win it. I get what you're saying. Absolutely. And if I was you, I would do the poker one. But I reckon a 2-shot lead. I'm going to take the chance to win it. And have the exemptions and maybe get some sponsorship and make some money and all. But I could play golf for that. But no, that's a ripping question. That's really good.
Yeah, that was good fun. And good that we had two different answers too.
Yep.
All right, let's find the third question here.
I reckon second one. Do the second one first, then the third one.
Yeah, that's a good idea. What is your greatest golfing achievement to date?
That's a good question. Look, now, I've got a little bit of a different philosophy for most on golf, as in I've played in tournaments and won tournaments. I played in a club up in Queensland and I played there and won the year-long club championship, but that was with a handicap. So I was off 12 and I beat 8 handicappers, but that doesn't mean I'm better at golf than them. So I don't take winning things like that as my greatest achievement, but I did have one day at Bright, which is one of my favourite courses. I had a 72 around Bright.
All right.
Which and that's the best round I've ever had.
Wasn't at night, was it?
No. I was in good nick. I was 4 under after four. I needed to, if I parred the last for 1 under, it would have been, but I bogeyed the last for a 72. I eagled the first, eagled the par five, and could reach it, made a putt, parred two, then birdied three, which was a par three with a monster long putt. All the putts rolled in. Then the next is a really short par four, so birdied, there's some 4 under after four, then just played, you know, reasonably normal good golf for the next sort of thing, and the putts dropped and whatever, and I had a 72, and that's the best round I've ever had. So that's probably my greatest achievement in golf, other than, I said, the winning the things when you're not, if you're the lowest handicapper in the group and win thing, but yeah, so I'm a bit different with the handicap thing. That's just me.
Well, mine is a handicap thing. Mine, I'm going to go to the first ever proper golf tournament I played, which is here in Yarrawonga at the other course. It was the Kenny Pascoe Memorial, which they play every year, and me and my brother went and played in it, and I didn't know much about, I'd only just got my handicap, I think I might have been playing off 28 at the time. We've gone around 18 holes, and I've ended up with 42 Stableford points and won the whole day. And I, again, didn't know much about that. Didn't realise it was that at the end I had to stand up in front of everyone and give a speech. And the coolest thing was there was a big perpetual trophy involved, which in the Yarrawonga club rooms, there's a big glass cabinet that's got all these different trophies, and the Kenny Pascoe Memorial is probably the biggest one in there. My name's engraved forever on it, sitting down the corner. And the best thing about it is my brother hated every second of it because he plays off single figures, and he comes slowly down or quickly down and never had a high handicap to win one of these tournaments and has never won one of these major things. So when we visit there frequently, I'd nudge him and point towards the cabinet and ask where his name is.
Look, that's great. That's magnificent. I hate to interrupt or cut short, but we have a problem. There's a spider on the floor.
What's the problem?
Is
that what you're looking at?
I've got no shoes on. And there's a spider on the floor.
What do you want me to do?
Well, stop everything you're doing and help.
No, I'm not stopping it. Hang on. I'm going for a look.
Where is it? I don't know. There. I won't stop looking. That's why. I'm looking because I was talking. Oh, no.
I can't see it. It might have crawled up your leg.
All right.
Let's just go on. Let's soldier on. So we're under control now. You happy?
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm all right.
Now, just so people know, we had to pause the show because the spider was back. And I said,
well, it wasn't back. We couldn't see it. So that's worse than not being able to see it.
I said, where is it? How big is it? It's pretty big. It was the size of it. Bloody 1 cent piece. Oh, anyway, that drama's over.
We'll move on
to the third question.
All right, what are we doing? What's
your third question is, name your top three bucket list sporting events you'd like to attend. Now, I'm going to throw a little bit of a... I'm going to change it up a little bit. Yep. We're going to name three... He's asked for three we'd like to attend.
Yep.
I'm going to say two you'd like to attend and one you would have liked to attend, in history that you would actually love to have been there when it happens.
Excellent. Me or you, who's going first?
You go with your first two, the future ones that you'd like
to
go to.
The two normal ones, right? The two normal ones. Well, again, it's a golf show and I love it. And the US Masters for me, and that's clearly the golf tournament I'd like to go to. And again, why the event would be great, just to see the course and all that, to get
the
feel
of
it. So when I'm, because they reckon, why the TV does a great job, they reckon the bumps and all that, you just don't see. So because I'm going to watch it for the next 50 years. How old am I? For the next 30 years. to have been there and have more of a feel for it when you're watching it. And again, to see the golfers and all that is great, but to get the feel of the course and all that would be magnificent. So, yeah, the US Masters is one. And two, it's tough. A Super Bowl would be great. Yeah. A Wimbledon final would be great. I'll tell you what it would be. I've got it. An FA Cup final, a Man U versus someone.
Not a big soccer fan.
Did
but
I say
that
FA
would...
Cup? Yeah, or the Premier League. And a really big game like that with the singing and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that'd
I'm
be good
a
fun.
Huge soccer fan, but apparently I've heard the crowds at the soccer games with the singing and the atmosphere they come, they're just magical. Yeah. Like a Liverpool Man U game that really mattered or something. Something like that. Because I reckon Yeah, that'd do me. That'd be the two. Because I've been to Melbourne Cups, I've been to AFL Grand Finals, and they're all magnificent and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, you know, a really top Premier League soccer game.
Yeah, I agree with that. Look,
what are yours?
I've got to put the Super Bowl in there.
Fair enough.
Yeah, that one's gonna be fairly short and sweet. The other one, again, my favourite sport, NBA. I would like to go to a game 7 of an NBA final, particularly if my team was playing. If I could throw that in there,
if you could make it courtside, that'd be an NBA final courtside. That is just a million times different to being somewhere in the crowd.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would make and that would, if I could get NBA courtside, because it would have $10,000, $12,000, $14,000 ticket courtside.
Up some if you're talking game 7. Yeah.
If I could get courtside, I'd go with that. That's a good call. What about your history?
History. Now, this is one, and I've often thought this, one thing I would have loved to have witnessed is at the X Games about 10 years ago, Tony Hawk, they were doing Best Trick. Now, Best Trick is you drop in, it's a half pipe, you drop in, a couple of pumps, you come out and you just throw the best trick you can, and they judge it, whoever wins gets it, one trick. Now, Tony Hawk at the time, no one had ever thrown a 900, and Tony Hawk, there was rumors that he was going to try it. He did on the first one. He got super close. No one had ever done it. A lot of people actually didn't think it was physically possible. Thought that you just could not do it. Mm. He got so close. He had used up all his attempts on the 900.
Sorry, just was this later in his career?
He
was really well established by now. Tony Hawk doing
it. Absolutely. He stacked on all of them, but got so close, he was out of the comp. The comp was over. They gave it to someone else, but the crowd just started chanting, Tony. So the competition started. On the video, the half pipe has this grandstand right on top of it. So everyone's looking like real close to it. And he was just standing there, and they'll zoom in on his face and the concentration and the look on his face. And he literally tried it about another 5 or 6, 7 times, crashed every single time. Wow. The crowd just kept cheering. All the skaters were up there patting him on the back. They're all slapping their skateboards to make the noise.
Because none of them else could even attempt it, basically?
They thought it was physically impossible.
This is news to me. I'm not a big X Games.
Absolutely. And after, I don't know how many attempts, he landed this. He hit the top of the half pipe, done his rotation, landed, and as he sticks it and rides away, he stands up, and the look on his face is just pure disbelief.
He's as stunned as anyone.
It takes him about 3 seconds to realize it's happened, and the crowd goes bananas. He throws his skateboard, and the video, the people were calling, actually, you can hear him say, "That's it, I retire, I'm done."
I'm not aware of this event, this story. That's amazing.
It was stunning. It was really, really, really good.
Now
15-year-olds are throwing 900 in the middle of their runs. Yeah. But anyway, at the time, it was just phenomenal.
Right. I've gone back a little further. Now, what do we love about sporting events? The underdog.
Yeah.
True?
Yeah.
What's the greatest underdog of all time?
Rudy.
Good call. But, I would have liked to have gone to the David and Goliath battle. How good would that have been? Goliath rocks in. Everyone's thinking, oh, no, here we go again. And then upsteps David and wins it. That's the greatest sporting event of all time.
What sport are they playing?
They're playing knockdown Goliath.
It was combat.
UFC style combat with a slingshot. David versus Goliath. How good a battle.
That would have been good to see.
Everyone knows it. No one knows your fucking Tony Hawk story. Imagine saying you're at the David and Goliath battle.
Yeah. You nearly could have been there.
There you go. So that's mine.
Oh, that's well done. Well answered, I suppose. Yeah, so... okay, that's question time done. Thanks, Sean Ivanax, for sending those questions in. They were rippers.
Hope we haven't got you in any trouble, Sean, but no, you'll be right.
We know the president of the Wayne Golf Club now. Come and see us if he gives you any trouble.
Yep.
Yeah, so I reckon that might nearly do it for this podcast, the Emerald Lakes podcast. Any last little things you'd like to say, Rolls?
No, I'm all good. The mystery of night golf goes on. And again, a quick little shout out to our mates over at the I Like the Cut of Your Jib. After you listen to our show, listen to theirs. The boys are doing very, very good. Their show last week was fantastic. I'm sure they'll be good again.
Yeah, so that's Emerald Lakes done. Once again, if you've got any questions, like Axe did, send them in to thechilideppers@gmail.com. If you've got a spare second, jump online, give us a 5-star review on iTunes.
What's the go there with that 5-star review? I've seen a few reviews. People say, well, what's the 5 stars do? Does that do anything?
No, I don't know. I've just heard on another podcast they say it. So we're right. I think it actually may affect your rankings on the lists.
If they're there to give, why not get them?
Yep. So we're going to wrap up the podcast there. That's Emerald Lakes in the books.
Yep, I'm all potted out. See you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Strong, but I feel no pain. Got an old brown bag, big sticky on the back, but the grass don't grow. Gonna take a few hacks. There's a place for you if you're just like me. I'm Chuck Rich, yelling at the TV. You have another cool one, but it won't hurt. Got myself a big stick swinging in the dirt. With a little bit of pay, but I feel no pressure. Couple lessons a day. We're working on the swing and talking trash. Take another good hit.